Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Pac-12 conference football programs at it this weekend. George Kliavkov's been on the job. It's probably been like drinking out of a fire hydrant, but he's been doing a good job, and he's joining us now. What has this felt like for you, just this first stretch of the job?
Hi, John. Nice to talk to you. It's been great. I had a chance to visit all 12 of our campuses on a listening tour in the first 100 days. And obviously those 100 days were filled with other bigger issues facing collegiate athletics. And I'm just enjoying the process of working through all of that with my new colleagues.
Why was that important to you to get out? And did you spend the night in town, or did you fly in, fly out?
Oh, gosh, no. I was there for 2 or sometimes 2.5 days on every campus. Spent time with kind of all the constituents, starting with the student athletes, the athletic departments, the faculty athletic reps, my bosses who are the presidents and chancellors and their teams, and really tried to dig in substantively to a bunch of the issues we're collectively facing. And for me, it was just, kind of a paid education in the first 100 days and also an opportunity to appreciate the differences and the similarities between all of our schools. Good education, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I heard over and over was, I heard, people at Washington State or Oregon State or Arizona saying, hey, our challenges are different than maybe USC or Washington. Did you find that the feedback you got was all over the map, or were there some common themes?
There were some common themes. I mean, the biggest common theme, I think, was just the pride in being part of the Pac-12. But there were certainly some common themes, and I think there are issues that I knew about, but hearing the nuances of those issues for each of the individual schools was important. I'll give you an example. Everybody has some issues with night games, and those issues are very different if you're in Corvallis and half of your fans are coming in from Portland than they are maybe for folks who are in Los Angeles and facing other challenges. But understanding those nuances is going to be important as we think about how to structure the media deals going forward and give ourselves some more flexibility on scheduling.
I have a to-do list around the house. Like right now, my trash cans are still out at the curb. I got to get to that, but it's not as high a priority as like feeding my daughters, right, and getting them off to school. When you look at your priorities for the Pac-12, what's at the top of the list right now?
Well, I've been consistent and clear about this since my press conference on May 13th that the conference has 4 priorities, and those will change over time. But, nothing in my first 100 days changed those priorities. Number one is extending our leadership position in taking care of our student athletes, right? We do more than any other conference in physical mental health, career development, all of the issues that our student athletes care about. And we were the first conference to make them part of our governance structure, and I think we're very proud of that, and we're going to continue to lean into being the leader in that space. Second is, tough to be a Power 5 conference and go 17 years without winning football and men's basketball, and we are doing everything we can at the conference level to fix that, and we can talk about that. Third is leaning heavily into our legacy of being the Conference of Champions, right? 54 of the last 60 years, each of the last 16 years, we have won more or tied for as many NCAA titles as any other conference, and we're not walking away from that just because we have a priority around football and men's basketball. And then fourth is more of a long-term thing, which is doing everything we can every day to optimize our media rights when we get to renegotiate those 2 years out. So those are the 4 priorities. They've been intersected by some near-term stuff related to college football playoffs and NIL and the fallout from the Alston case and, you know, the restructuring of the divisions that came out of Texas and Oklahoma. And for us, that led to the alliance. And, then, you know, there's other stuff going on. But those are the four priorities. Top one is student-athletes. And that'll be the filter through which we think about every decision we make at the conference.
George Kliavkov, Pac-12 commissioners with us. Let's go to number three, winning national championships in men's basketball and in football. What can you do at the conference level to help?
Yeah, so just to be clear, that's number two.
Oh, number two, see?
That's number two. Number three is all of the other championships that, that we historically have dominated. So with respect to football and men's basketball, I think, you know, we have kind of a template in place, right? About 5 years ago, the conference took a step back, formed a men's basketball working group, thought about everything that the conference gets to decide. And again, remember, 80% of these decisions happen at the school level, right? What coach do you hire? How much do you invest in your facilities? How do you approach recruiting? All of that stuff. But at the margins, you know, 20-25% of the decisions are made at the conference level. And the conference went through the process of saying, well, should we play 18 or 20 conference games? Should we have a scheduling requirement and a criteria for scheduling non-conference games? What should we think about how we do our media rights deals to highlight our programs? And I think you started to see the success for men's basketball from that program that has been worked on for the last 5 years, last year. And I'm hoping we'll see an acceleration of that this year and next year for men's basketball. That will result in more NCAA tournament bids, better seeding, and eventually a national championship. We started the same thing for football at Football Media Days in July. The first report out of that is due in January after the football season. It is all of our athletic directors, all of our football coaches, and led by Merton Hanks and his team at the conference. And the things that we're specifically looking at are, when we get a chance to have some flexibility around our scheduling, how do we want to think about scheduling football? And specifically, do we want to have divisions or not, right? There's a nightmare scenario for the conference where a two- or three-team loss from either the North or South plays an undefeated team from the other side of our divisional structure and wins, and no one gets a CFP bid. So does it make more sense for us to not have divisions and just have the best two teams meet in Vegas on December 3rd? We won't be able to make that decision this year. We're in the divisional structure this year, but we'll look at that for years going forward, and that'll be informed by what the future structure of the CFP will be.
Yeah, in addition to the divisions, and I know you've hit on this, but going from nine games down to eight, does the decision with expansion play a role in whether or not the conference would move from nine games to eight games in a conference schedule, or are those two things independent?
Well, number one, we've decided not to expand, and we're going to stay at 12. You know, we went through the process of looking at whether or not we should expand, and our presidents and chancellors, through a recommendation from a group that we formed to look at this, unanimously voted to stay at 12 schools.
Yeah, I was talking about the playoff expansion. Does that play a role in whether or not you would go from nine games to eight in a football season?
I think it would have more effect on whether or not we had divisions. I don't think it would affect whether we would go from nine to eight. We think the best thing for the conference is to go from nine to eight, and then through the alliance that we formed with the ACC and the Big Ten, to eventually get to a place where we're playing eight Pac-12 games, one game against the Big Ten, one against the ACC. One of those will be home. One of those will be away for each of our schools. That would go back and forth every year. And then we'll have two additional games for each of our teams that the athletic directors and football coaches can program for themselves if they want to have seven home games, if they want to not play more than 10 Power 5 games. They can make those decisions for themselves. I think, you know, coming into this as an outsider, one of the things that seemed broken to me about college athletics was the way that we schedule college football. And the idea that, you know, a while back some teams decided to schedule games 12 and 15 years out, and that resulted in more teams scheduling games like that, and then there was fear of missing out. I'll have no one left to play, so I better schedule those games. Seems broken. It seems better to know that we're going to have games against the Big Ten and the ACC, and that allows us to schedule the games after the previous season ends and to create really compelling in-the-moment matchups. And, you know, schedule 8 months out, not 12 years out, seems to be a better way to go. But you can only do that if you know you have those guaranteed games.
George Kliavkov, Pac-12 commissioner, is our guest. The Alliance, you know, a lot of other people around the country waved it off. I think we've seen some ways that it's mattered already, haven't we?
Oh, for sure. And I think you're going to see a lot more coming shortly. Alliance has three goals. Top goal is working together to use best practices across all 41 schools and three conferences to be better about how we take care of our student athletes. And I think you're going to see some of those kind of early wins in that space being announced shortly. Second is to work together to think about these big issues that are facing college athletics. And again, very clear, this is not a voting block, right? We're each going to come to our own independent conclusions about how to vote on CFP or NIL or other stuff. But it's an agreement to sit down with like-minded colleagues and talk about what would be best for college athletics going forward and to come to some conclusions and then independently vote. And then the third, and the one that gets all the promotion and hype and media speculation, is the scheduling alliances, starting with football, but for women's and men's basketball and for all of our other sports. And we have working groups that include the coaches for all of these sports already digging into all of that. And how do we create new events that'll be great for fans and great for student athletes? Or how do we schedule in a way where we kind of, you know, accelerate great matchups and really exciting fan opportunities and opportunities for our student athletes to play in different markets and be showcased?
Washington State terminated football coach Nick Rolovich earlier this week. What did you make of that?
Well, I stayed out of that because that's none of our business. That's between Washington State and its employee. And I think from the outside looking in, not speaking for the conference, speaking personally, it looked like a well-managed, fair, blind kind of process where they came to the conclusion they came to. I would say, again, having nothing to do with that situation, but speaking more broadly, I believe in science. I believe in the vaccine and the efficacy of the vaccines. I believe the quicker we get a larger percentage of our population vaccinated, the quicker we get to all stop wearing masks and get to sit next to each other, shoulder to shoulder in our arenas and stadiums and other venues and enjoy college sports. So I'm all in for getting folks vaccinated.
George Kliavkov is our guest, Pac-12 commissioner. Pac-12 headquarters, it's been an ongoing conversation, but you have a lease that's ticking down in San Francisco. Is it up at the end of next year? Is that right?
No, it's almost 2 years. It's
2 years out. Okay.
The middle of the year after. Yeah.
All right, so you've got your list. It's probably like my trash cans out at the corner. It's like it's one of those things that you know is out there. You're going to have to deal with it. Any thoughts right now or any conversation happening as to where the conference headquarters would be located in the future?
Well, we haven't started the work to determine where we're going to locate the headquarters. But what I will say to you is we're spending too much money on real estate in the specific location we're currently in, and we're not going to spend that money on real estate after this lease ends. I would much rather be giving the majority of that money back to our athletic departments to spend on our student athletes. So we'll need an office. You know, the office is mostly employees of the network and some employees of the conference. You know, we have our media rights deals coming up as well. You know, production is done differently today than it was done 9 years ago when that office was originally structured. You could think of a more distributed production capability rather than having have a big central office for our network, and we put that production on each of our 12 campuses. Doesn't mean you don't need some centralized functions, but we'll be thoughtfully thinking about how to have an office that allows us to achieve what we need to achieve while spending a lot less money on real estate.
You had an opportunity to see a bunch of games. You're getting around to stadiums. What's the best game you've seen so far as a fan?
Well, I was very fortunate. And again, remember, I love non-conference games because I get to root. The toughest part about my game is going to a conference game and having to sit there with my hands in my pockets and watch a great game and not get to root. So I was fortunate early to be at the LSU game at the Rose Bowl when UCLA took LSU down. I was also very fortunate to be at Ohio State at the Horseshoe to watch Oregon beat Ohio State. I was very proud of the work we did in both of those games, and they were really fun as a fan to be at.
You know, it's just a breath of fresh air to hear you talk and have a plan. And, you know, I know that this is probably foreign to you, like you're going around to the stadiums, but I feel like you're being well received by fans who probably recognize you. What kind of feedback are you getting at the stadiums as you walk through the parking lot or you see fans tailgating or people see you at the stadium?
Well, it's still weird for me to have people recognize me for any reason. It's weirder when they want to take a picture. I anticipate that, you know, given some of the passion that our fans have and some of the outcomes that they, you know, have articulated on my Twitter feed, they think are related to officiating calls. I'm not sure I'll get that reception everywhere for the rest of the season, but that's okay. You know, that's part of the job. I love representing the conference. I love interacting with all of our fans and our student athletes and our administrators. It's just been a real pleasure so far. And I have to tell you, like, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to, the day after tomorrow, being up at 6 a.m. with the fans when College Game Day comes to UCLA. I have a kid who goes to the University of Georgia, and I was fortunate last week on their parents' weekend to be at Georgia and to watch the Kentucky-Georgia game and to be fortunate enough to meet with the guys from College Game Day and have a conversation with them about the importance of West Coast football and Pac-12 football. And I was really, really happy to see the day or two after our conversation, them making the decision to bring College Game Day out to UCLA. That hasn't happened for the conference in a while. I think it's an important measuring stick for the future of our conference.
Media rights on the horizon. A lot of times that's done outside. What will your role be in negotiating the conference's media rights moving forward?
Well, we'll work with consultants on that because, you know, the media rights landscape moves so quickly that it's impossible to stay on top of it if you don't do it every day. So we'll engage some consultants to help us with that. But I'm going to be actively involved. That is, as you heard, one of my top four priorities. And I think it's very, very important that we get those right. I think there's going to be multiple bidders for every tier of our rights, given the underlying things that are going on in media distribution and the new aggregators of media who need exclusive content. And remember, there's no better content than sports media, right? It is watched live. You don't skip ads. The ads are therefore more valuable. It attracts a demographic that's almost impossible to attract in mass anywhere else. And when you think about the demographic that you attract, I can't think of a more kind of important, useful demographic than the alumni and fans of Pac-12. Highly educated by definition, high net worth and high net income compared to, any other group that you could aggregate. So I think we're going to be in a really good position, but we have work to do between now and then to make sure that we think about how to distribute those rights in a way that balances revenue, which obviously has to be a component, but balances that against broad distribution for all the reasons you could imagine, recruiting and, exposure and otherwise, and also competitive advantage. I think we are at a disadvantage when our best games are played at a time when 75% of the country is already asleep. So we have to work through that.
George Klyavkov is the Pac-12 commissioner. I appreciate you, George, and thanks for joining us, and I will see you at the stadium.
John, look forward to it. Thank you very much for everything you do for the conference.
Appreciate you. There's George Klyavkov on the scene. Wow, what a confidence-building breath of fresh air. Got to say that. And that's not a slap on his predecessor. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how you hear that interview with George Klyavkov and not leave it going, you know what? I'm bullish on what the Pac-12 conference can be. Leave it here. Our Big Splash is next. Good stuff with George Klyavkov, Pac-12 commissioner. Coming up top of the hour, Stephen Piercy, the president at Portland State, will be joining us. They recently launched a study of their athletic department. What did he learn from collegiate consulting? Is football on the chopping block or not? When are they going to hire an AD? I have so many questions for the president at Portland State. If you've got one, tweet it at me. At John Canzano, BFT. I want to real quickly replay something from the George Klyavkov interview. I asked him about Nick Rolovich.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.